Father, we thank you for all the lessons that you have put around us every single day. And that in your love and your mercy, Lord, you teach us many things about your word and about your truth, even by the things that we encounter in our lives on a daily basis. We pray that we will always be open to hear your voice, and we pray that we will always be able to see the spiritual lessons and the spiritual parallels in the things that we encounter on a day-to-day basis, because sometimes they are the very best teachers of all. And Lord, our desire is to know you, and you have revealed yourself in your written word and through your Son, and also in all your creation and in the creation you have placed around us. Take now your word today. Use it in our hearts and in our lives. Use and apply to our lives the parts that are needed. And that is our prayer today. And we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. This may be a one-of-a-kind message because this is going to be about something kind of just, you know, related to household. Preachers' households probably aren't that all tremendously different from any of our households. And even though we minister the word and all that, well, we go through a lot of the same types of things as everybody else. And I noticed that our Lord Jesus, he often quoted the word, and he certainly stuck with the word of God. But a lot of Jesus' teaching was just about common, ordinary things. And the scripture does this. So Jesus says, look at the birds. You know, they don't sow and they don't harvest, and yet your Father feeds them. So you can know by that your Father's going to feed you, because you're worth more than a lot of little birdies. And so far as clothing, look at the lilies of the field. They don't spin, they don't labor, and yet even Solomon, in all of his splendor, wasn't dressed like one of these. And learn this lesson from the fig tree. When it starts budding and blossoming, you know summer's near. So when you see all these signs I've been sharing with you, you can know that it's really near, even at the door. And so, and then Solomon himself says, go to the ant, you lazy bum, and learn something from him. And so the Lord has designed it that we can learn from things. And so this morning I'm going to introduce you to somebody who, from our household. And I think you all know that over the years, we've had a number of pets. Barbara's an animal lover, and I'm a little less of an animal lover, but I don't hate them or despise them or anything like that. And for many years, it's been, we had some birds and goldfish and stuff, but mostly dogs. And then in the last few years, cats were added to this. It started out with one cat, and then the one cat, somebody brought us one to take care of, and somehow never quite got back to picking it back up. And so one cat became two, and two became three, and eventually the three became seven. And so the one we're going to talk to you about is one of our later additions in the spring of 2009, when Barbara and Christina were working at a shelter over in Norfolk. So anyway, yeah, but I'll say this. I'm gonna draw some spiritual parallels this morning between a household pet and some things that we could learn from him. And if you're above all that, you're past being able to learn from simple, everyday things, then my congratulations to you. But I'm not past that stage yet, so we're going to share some of these today. But let me introduce him. When Barbara brought him home, he was just a little thing, black and white, and with one eye, the right one, that seemed to run all the time. Barbara said she had seen him down at the animal shelter where she and Christina, our granddaughter, volunteered, and that the minute she laid eyes on him, she knew she had to have him. Whenever Barbara says something like that about a little homeless animal, you can pretty much take that one to the bank. It's happened before. We named him Snuggles. The other cats didn't take the Snuggles right away. In fact, some of the older ones were so hostile at the beginning, they wouldn't even let him near them. But Snuggles was never afraid of them. Snuggles was the perfect blend of complete confidence on the one hand and complete harmlessness on the other. And let them know he would be friends if they would let him. And over time, he won them over, one by one. By the time he was full grown, he was in the middle of virtually everything and pretty much the team leader of the group. There wasn't much he wasn't involved in, and much of the time, he was the chief instigator. On June the 21st, Snuggles was hit by a car, and that was it. And you know, you have pets, and pets come and go. Once in a while, there's a special one. This one was special. And he's been harder for Barbara and I to deal with this one than maybe any other that we've ever had. But this, she put it well, I think, one day afterwards. She said, you know, she said, that little kitty had his paw on virtually everything that happened in this household. And that was pretty much true. So I observed some things in this little animal. And you know, the Word shares about salvation. And then the Word also has a lot of practical advice for us in our day-to-day living. How many know that's true? And even in Jesus' teaching, it wasn't all about salvation. A lot of it was just about practical day-to-day living. And so those are the ones that I want to zero in on, and I put a couple scriptures there for each one, because these are scriptural principles. So these are little things that I could see that were displayed in this little pet, and that have an even stronger spiritual parallel, because if these things can be true in the natural, in just a little household pet, think about those who have the hope of eternal life. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those of us who know the truth of the Word of God. Those of us who know what an all-powerful and loving Heavenly Father we serve. And those of us who know what awaits us in the future. How much more these same truths are magnified for the believer. And so this is why they have pertinence to us. So here's the first lesson that I would pick up from little Mr. Snuggles. Don't live in fear. How many people do you know that live in fear? And even those of you who do not live in fear, how many of you would admit that even as believers, fear is a component in your life? Perhaps with more frequency than you would dare even to admit. I wrote later, I said, fear seemed to be an emotion foreign to this little kitty. We never once, I never saw him display fear of any kind. This little kitty was completely secure. And I don't think most people can say that. He was completely secure in who he was. He was completely secure in the household setting. And he was completely secure in the love and support he was getting from Barbara and me. And wouldn't it be a sad thing to say that a little kitty is more secure in his environment and more secure in the care that he's getting from his caregivers than we as believers are secure in our relationship with our Heavenly Father? And fear has torment. It says that in the Word. There is so much in the Word to tell us not to fear. And as believers, we know there are dangers in the world. But even as believers, we're not supposed to fear, and we're certainly not supposed to live in fear. Jesus says to the disciples the night just a little before he's led away, "Peace I leave with you. Peace means shalom. It means total well-being at every level of existence. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. These are the Lord Jesus' words to his disciples just hours before he himself is going to go through his baptism of suffering. John will write years later in 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The King James says fear has torment. How many know that's true? People that live in fear are tormented people. Fear is a thief. Fear makes us lay awake at night. Fear robs us of our joy. Fear robs us of our peace of mind. Fear robs us of so many things. And it definitely carries torment with him. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so as I witness this little kitty with no fear whatsoever, never saw it displayed in any form, I say, Lord, that we could be as secure in our daily lives in you as this little kitty was in his setting. And Lord, that you would wash us of our fear. Just wash us. A lot of times we say, Lord, cleanse me of my sin. But have you ever said, Lord, just wash me of my fear? Just wash me over and over. Wash me until that fear is gone and I can trust you. And even in the hardest situation, I can look up and I can say, Lord, I know that you're in control. And I know you're going to work it out because you are my faithful Heavenly Father. Can I hear an amen? And that is a blessed life. Jesus said, the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come, what? That you may have what? Life. And not only that, but may have it how? To the full or abundantly. And fear robs us of that. And so we need to say to fear, be gone. You have no place in my heart. You have no place in my life. The fear that I have is natural and it is normal, but Jesus did not put it there. And my Lord Jesus, when he comes in and he really takes full control, and I know he's really in control, and I know how good and merciful and kind and patient and forgiving he is with me, I should not have another fear. That doesn't mean I don't take precautions in a dangerous world or things like that. But I don't walk around in fear because I know my Lord Jesus is near me. How many believe Jesus ever experienced fear the way we do? I don't think he did, because his union with his Father was perfect and his union with him was unsullied by fear. And so he did not have fear. Yes, he suffered in the garden. If he had one fear, it was being separated from the Father. It was having the sins of the world placed on him. But did he fear in any daily type situation? I do not think so. And that is the Lord's will for us as believers. And there is no need for us as believers to be walking around in fear. Number two, second lesson, don't use force as a means of getting your own way. Even though this little kitty was so confident, and even though I never saw him display fear, and even though he was almost an in-your-face type cat, not only with us, but with the other cats, even old Mr. Little Monkey, the patriarch, the black cat that doesn't want to be bothered, you know, even he hated the presence of Snuggles at first and all of that, and would let it be known. Snuggles never would give up, and he would keep coming up. It's like, hey, I'm here. You're not getting rid of me. I'm not going to really bother you or harm you, but you're not getting rid of me. And so he didn't give up, and he wasn't, but he never used force, even though he was so secure and so confident and all of that, but he never used force. And if he, you know, he might come up and kind of work his way in at the food dish, But if the other cat let it be known, hey, this is that he just walk away. Never saw him swat at another cat except in a playful mood. But never in anger. And never saw him tangle. Never saw him get into a fight. No wonder he was so easy to love. But you know, there's something in us, somebody says, you know, somebody takes a swipe at us, there's something in us that just wants to rise up and take a swipe back. Am I right? But it wasn't there. And if he made an overture to somebody, especially, say, another cat or whatever, and they kind of, you know, did swat at him or whatever, you know what he would do? He would just simply go away. He didn't indulge in a pity party. Oh, I'm being rejected. Why does everybody hate me? He didn't do that. He just went on his way, and then he would come back at a more opportune time. And that leads us to number three. Be a friend. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, this little cat had never been, as far as I know, to a Dale Carnegie course. And you know, how to win friends and influence people and all that stuff. But this little kitty had the friendship thing absolutely nailed. Absolutely. And I figured out later, I'm like, well, why is this, you know, a few days after the loss? I'm like, and then I figured it out. Because we were tight. We were best buddies. I had connected with this guy at levels I didn't even know. Because he was a friend. And not only with us, but again with the other kitties, like I had read earlier. You know, over time, he won them over one by one. But as I meditated on that, you know, why it was such a difficult thing. Why was I having such a time with it? I began to think of how Snuggles was an integral part of my day. Think about the camaraderie we shared on a daily basis. Think about the simplicity and honesty of the relationship. Think about his antics and how he almost always made me laugh. Think about how he loved life. Think about his lack of fear, lack of calculation, lack of worry, lack of malice and anger, lack of demands and expectations, lack of pride, lack of embarrassment, lack of unpleasantness and grumpiness, lack of ulterior motives, lack of hidden agendas, lack of touchiness. Need I go on? Our relationship was not restricted by unwritten It wasn't restricted by unwritten agendas, hidden motives, or self-serving requirements that accompany so many of our interactions with our own kind. My apologies, fellow humans. Nor did he exhibit the customary edginess often associated with cats in general. Snuggles' attitude was, if you want to be my friend, here I am. I won't force myself on you. But if you want to be my friend, here I am. I'll be here in good times and bad. I won't ask a lot of questions. I won't offer a lot of opinions. But I'll be your buddy. I'll be your friend. I won't make demands. I won't analyze your every move and judge your every motive. I'll just be here to keep you company. And we can share some good times together. You're my friend, and I like being with you. Let's be friends. And it dawned on me, this is why I had developed such a close ties to this kitty and why I could hardly stand the loss of my friend. This kitty, who could not communicate verbally with me in my language, who knew nothing of math or science, who had no marketable skills, who could not arrange an appointment for me with anyone of influence or power, or even get me a reservation at a local eatery, this kitty, with all his limitations and limited knowledge about so many things, had become my best friend. Wouldn't you like to have a friend like Snuggles sometime? And, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated, does it? I don't know. Would you agree that the best friendships are the least complicated ones? That's sort of the camp I'm in. But if you want to have friends, what's the number one rule? Be a friend. So many times we're just waiting. Well, you know, I went to that church and nobody shook my hand, you know. I moved in and nobody from next door has been over yet, so nobody must want to be friends with me. The first rule of friendship is if you want friends, you make the first move. Am I right? I even learned that. They didn't have kindergarten when I was a kid. That's how old I am. But even in first grade, you know, if you wanted to have friends, you had to, you make, and this was Snuggles. He made the move. Now, if you didn't want his company, then he didn't lose any sleep over it, and he went his own way. And that's probably the way we ought to be. But if you did, he was willing to make the time investment. He was willing to be there. He was willing to interact. And it's not complicated. And that is how we need to be. Jesus is our best friend ever. And, of course, he was a true friend to his disciples. And even though he said, you call me Lord and all that, but I'm also your friend. And he chose, did Jesus have a time investment with his disciples? Oh, he had an absolute time investment with them. And so he was more than just their Lord. He was also their friend. And as believers, that's one of the best things. If they say, well, that person there, they're real religious, but they sure are hard to connect with. Is that a real good testimony? Number four. Don't worry about what you don't have. Don't worry about what you don't have. Meet so many people, you know, and we all, there's something we want. Oh, I wish my hair was a different color. I wish I was older, or I wish I was younger, or I wish I weighed less, or I wish I weighed more, or I wish I had that particular model of iPhone that my best friend has, or I wish I had a vehicle like my friend, or I wish I didn't live in this neighborhood, or I wish there, whatever. We can go on down the list, and we spend our lives spending a lot of time about things we can't do anything about, and also feeling bad because of the things that we don't have. Snuggles did not have this problem. He was fully content with what he had been provided. I said evenings were perhaps Snuggles' very favorite time of day. On nice evenings, he loved to take up his position somewhere in the backyard, crouching in the grass, keeping watch like a sentinel guarding his assigned territory, or a wealthy landowner surveying his estate. I tell you what, this was a rich kitty. He owned it all. He had it all. And he was proud of it. It made me think of that line in the Doris Akers song, I looked all around me, it looked so fine. I asked the Lord, oh Lord, is all this mine? That was more or less his attitude. And I tell you, we could do more with that, to be happy with what the Lord has given us. I'm not going to worry about what I don't have. If there's something I really need, then I figure in time the Lord will provide it. Amen? And if in the meantime it hasn't come my way, then apparently maybe it wasn't meant for me to have that particular thing. But do I have enough to be happy? Do I have enough to be content? Do I have enough to be fulfilled? Do I have enough to do God's will and to fulfill his purpose for my life? And I think the answer to that is absolutely yes. And to be, that's the beginning of a grateful attitude right there, is just to understand just how blessed we are. Apostle Paul said, I have learned the secret of being content. Anybody? You want the secret of being content? Huh? In any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. See? So, he says, I can be content either way. And there's that famous verse. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. There are some people who weren't content with what they had, and they ran those credit cards slam up to the limit. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? We had some hard times on the mission field, but we always had enough. I remember Louise Maxwell's son, Herbert, saying to me of the early days when his parents were raising him here in South Norfolk and people didn't have much. He said, I remember a lot of hard times. But I don't remember any bad times. And that always stuck with me. And number five, and this is a good one for all of us, live each day to the fullest. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And from the time Snuggles was up in the morning running through that house and ripping through that house and getting a couple of the other younger kiddies involved and knocking stuff over, sometimes they'd get started about 5 in the morning. He had already had his workout by the time I was up for breakfast, and then after that he was ready for his morning nap. But I tell you what, at all through the day, you know, whether he was trotting up that hall like some kind of a purebred horse to beat you to the kitchen, or whether he was laying up on top of the couch with his rear leg straddling it and his hind end about wide enough you could park a semi-truck on it, or whether he was laying on top of the bird cage to protect them, of course, or whether he was drinking out of the aquarium, the only cat we had that did that, And we never could break him of it. Or whether we had just brought some groceries home, guess who's the first one up there sniffing them around? Or if there was a new box. Now, how many know cats like boxes? And if there was a new box on the table, he was always the first one to try it out. Every day was an adventure, and the next adventure was just around the corner. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live like that? And the truth is, most of that's just an attitude. And the truth is, we really can, for the most part. You say, oh, you don't know. By the way, if I had to give like a one-line description of this kitty, it's this. He was a feline version of Snoopy the dog. You getting the picture? And my favorite all-time cartoon of the Peanuts is that Snoopy's over there just doing like this, kind of like Brother Jefferson was doing up here last Sunday and doing like this. And Lucy's like, how can you dance like that? And how can you be happy when there's all this suffering in the world and there's all this hunger and there's all this? And Snoopy's just, whoo! And you couldn't dampen it. We need more people like that. Amen? Amen? We really do. And it comes from knowing who the Lord is. And part of living fully is making the most of every opportunity, which of course he did. But the scripture takes it to another level. But we are told, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Or in the King James, it says, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And we don't know what is right around the corner. But is that going to keep me or you from living each day to the fullest? To me, that would be one of the best ways as believers that we can honor the Lord. Again, is a down in the mouth, complaining, negative Christian, is that the best testimony there is? Or is it someone who says, Lord, I know times are hard and I know the world and I know all of that. But today is the day the Lord has made and I'm going to rejoice and I better be glad in it. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 The Lord is good, and His mercies endure forever. He has given us the key to the abundant life. Let us walk in the abundant life He has provided. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today. You really have given us all good things to enjoy. And it says that You add no sorrow with it. And You do. You don't want us to get fixated on the things of this world and that they become the main thing and they become the important thing. But You do want us, Lord, to enjoy the things that You have provided every day. And You want us to have an abundant life at every level. Of course, that begins with a relationship with You, because without that, we cannot have these other things. We can't have the peace and joy that comes from knowing You if we don't know You and walk with You. But Lord, thank You that in Christ, all things have been provided for us, both now and for all eternity. Make us good examples for You. Teach us, Lord, to not live in fear. Teach us, Lord, to not insist on our own way or get our own way by the use of force, but to let You be our defender and the one who opens the way. Teach us to be a friend rather than expecting to be befriended. Teach us not to worry about what we don't have, and teach us to make the most of every moment. Lord, we thank You, we praise You, and we just worship You today for all You are and all You have provided. Let us live as believers who understand these truths and know their implications in days like those that we live in. If there's even one person here who hasn't yet taken that step to fully surrender their lives to Jesus, Lord, I pray this morning that this might be that day that they can begin that journey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.